This is the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Direct from the action in Finland, we're bringing you all the news, insights, reactions, insider tips, and much, much more from the IIHF World Championship. The best 30 minutes of your day start now.
Seeing some pucks? Oh, it's incredible. Sweden, Finland, and Scandinavia? Come on. This will be a highlight game for sure.
And it was a highlight game for sure. Finland, Sweden, and Scandinavia. Overtime shootout. Was there anything else that we could have asked for from this game?
I don't think so. There was a ton of energy. Also, those refs are hilarious. If you haven't seen them on TikTok, you need to go look at them because I couldn't stop laughing at the one that I posted. But yes, that game was unreal. The Finland versus Sweden, 2-2 into, what was it? We went to overtime and into a shootout. Oh my gosh, the excitement was unbelievable. And even in the shootout, it was such a strange shootout because of how many people missed the net. And then on the last shootout for it was Finland. Guy turns backwards, skates backwards down the ice and shoots with a backhand into the glove. And I was like, what is going on? Like, that's going to be the shot that you take of all takes?
That's the Marty St. Louis. He did that many years ago in the NHL, back up, and the goalie doesn't know what's happening. And sometimes you pull forehand, sometimes you shoot five holes. So I appreciate the creativity, but you're right. It was almost a typical Finland-Sweden game. Back and forth, super tight, physical, emotional, and not much to split between the two of them. Sweden does get the win in the end, but I think this is just a precursor. If they played again, it would look very similar.
You said emotional, and Reagan, you actually told me they were nervous ahead of this game, the Finns.
Yeah, I think both teams were. I was sitting on the bench and like during warmups talking to one of the trainers, and he goes, I was like, how you feeling? He's like, I'm a little nervous. I was like, what? You're nervous? You're not even playing. I was like, I do get that though. Like, I would get nervous. I was nervous for them, and I didn't know who was going to win tonight's game. I was hoping it would go in Finland's favor just because of how they've been playing, but hey, at the end of the day, a win's a win for Sweden. And I actually like that Sweden won too, because I live there.
Oh, playing the Swedish card from the temporary residence. I see how it is.
I still have my temporary residency card, so come at me.
But in the end, it doesn't matter a whole bunch. I mean, Sweden will finish first, Finland likely second. So that may change their semifinal matchup. But I think, you know, and maybe the quarterfinal would likely be Germany instead of Slovakia. You know, it might be slightly different, but I think the path will be around the same for both of them until the semifinals. And then Finland will get the winner of Canada-Swiss, which, you know, will be the best team in Group A, if it all plays out that way. So, but more than that, though, guys, it's bragging rights. It's
a week worth of teams, but for the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They can walk around with their blue and yellow jerseys on and be like, we got this for the next week or so. On your home ice surface, we took it. We're feeling great. And there was a smattering of Swedish fans in there. It wasn't all Finns.
Oh, yeah. They were sitting next to me. They were quite loud, not only at the end, because let me tell you, the white and blue jerseys cleared out pretty quickly after this shootout. And all that was left was a lot of yellow. And then all of a sudden you saw how many of them actually came out, and they were sitting next to me throughout the game. They were loud. They were making themselves heard. They're starting a little bit of trash talk, but we like these kind of things.
Yeah, and the Finnish fans, when I was standing in the stands, they were talking so much trash about, how are you going to make that mistake? How are you going to miss that pass? I'm like, you can't even skate. What are you talking about?
Well, Magnus Hellberg spoke about the shootout and the atmosphere afterwards, talked about both fans. Listen to this.
You know, we know they have some really good offensive guys. I just tried to be focused and be in the moment. I tried to be calm and show off some confidence. Don't try to buy it on the first move. And today it went well, so I'm really happy we got the extra point today.
And you were playing in front of a very hostile environment, 11,000 people pretty much cheering against you. What was that like to play in?
No, I mean, playing against Finland on their home ice, it's unbelievable. They have some great fans. They're really loud. You know, it's games like this you want to play. You get that extra energy, even though they may be not cheering for you. But we had some fans here tonight as well that did a really good job. So, you know, awesome feeling.
you know what? He's right in that those are the games you want to play in, whether at home or on the road, like that kind of moment. Those are special ones when you're old and retired, like me, that you're like, you know what?
Me too,
you think
Mike.
Back to your favorite moments. There are moments like that, whether you're at home or on the road, whether you win or lose, those kind of games, when you're in there with your teammates, those are the ones you remember.
Speaking of moments you remember, Mike, let's talk about your moment from yesterday.
My moment of the day?
Yes, sir.
So my moment of the day is kind of sad. Tatar, captain of Slovakia, very emotional. He's the leader. They're trailing by one against Switzerland in the third period. It's a power play. He's got a wide open one-timer, Reagan. He rings it off the crossbar.
No.
He goes to the bench. He is beside himself. He's shaking his head. He's rocking and rolling. He's being consoled by his line mates. Like, oh, no, he did not score. What a tough break. About 5 minutes later, same thing. He gets a backdoor rebound right on his stick, wide open net. Hits the post again.
No.
And you're like, oh no. It's just camera, of course, falls under the bench. And it was even more demonstrative. And so my moment of the day was unfortunately him missing, but also just so raw in his emotions about how bad he wanted that, not for himself, but for his team, which was beautiful to see. But a sleepless night for Tomas Tatar after a couple posts last night.
That's so sad. I don't want to watch the video.
Yeah, neither does he. Neither does he.
Well, let's continue talking about this game. And Reagan, we'll get to your moment of the day. Comes from another game here in Tampere. We'll get to it later on when we speak about this game. And, you know, it was a crazy game, Mike. You were telling about this earlier on Spaces. You were messaging us about it last night. I was following it online while watching the game here in Tampere. It was just a wild game, especially in the third period.
Just back and forth. Switzerland takes the lead. Slovakia ties it up. Switzerland takes the lead. Slovakia ties it up. And then eventually Switzerland got out to a 4-2 lead. Slovakia scores about 10 minutes left. And then all hell broke loose. Multiple penalties. Michael Fora took a 5-minute kneeing penalty. So Slovakia is sitting there, like they got a great chance, down one with like 6.5 minutes left on the clock. They got a power play for 5 minutes. And then during that 5-minute power play, Switzerland took another penalty. They had a full 2-minute 5-on-3. And that's where the game was lost for Slovakia, was on their power play. They had so many opportunities throughout the game, including that lengthy 5-on-3, and just could never quite crack the code of the Swiss penalty killers. And then I start to, these too many men on the ice penalties happen throughout. And then Reagan, if you believe it, at the tail end of that 5-minute power play, Slovakia is kind of changing slowly, trying to, you know, figure out who's going to stay on the ice. And the ref gives a delay a game to the bench with like a minute and a half left in the game. What's that?
Was the puck there at their feet?
No. I'm saying it was on a whistle. Like they're saying you're changing too slow. I'm like, hang on. You don't call a delay a game with under 2 minutes left because they're changing too slow. Even if they are changing too slow.
Yeah.
At that moment in a one-goal game, you don't call that. But they did. It was, and that just kind of was like the culmination of a crazy night. In which Switzerland won. Good for them. They played really well, especially in the first period. But the way the game finished was wild.
And that means that Slovakia is now 6th in the standing over in Helsinki. Their 3 remaining games are Kazakhstan, Italy, and Denmark. 2 of those are behind them in the standings. Are those 3 games winnable, and is it enough to get them to a quarterfinals, Reagan?
2 of 3 of them at least are winnable. Denmark, well, we'll see. It depends on how Denmark wants to play on that given day. But they can win all 3 games if they do play the way that they've been playing. And, well, like Mike said, capitalize on the power play.
Well, I think the schedules know what they're doing. Schedule makers know what they're doing. Because you know who plays each other on the last day? It's Slovakia, Denmark. And just like Italy, Kazakhstan will play their last game to make it through, it looks like Slovakia, Denmark. Because I think Group A is going to go very much according to plan. Whether it will be Switzerland, Canada, one team will be 7-0. One team will be 6-1. Germany will be 5-2. Like they'll be very much in line with each other. So Denmark and Slovakia will be playing to be that next team. And yeah, Slovakia's record doesn't look good, but they played Germany, Canada, and Switzerland. So they're supposed to lose those teams. Now, can they beat the teams they're supposed to beat? That will be the challenge.
France, Italy, we've been talking about it for quite some time now. The Italians were hanging on to a one-point lead for so long, and it was a heartbreak in the end.
It was, I mean, Italy scored a shorthanded goal, Reagan, in the first period, and they just tried to milk that to the end. They didn't push too much. They didn't create too much, and you thought they got there all the way until France pulled their goalie, called a timeout, created a play, and it was Sasha Trey, which is very cool. His brother, Yorick, is on the coaching staff. So his brother's there diagramming a play in front of the net, and they got a shot, tip, finally solved Andreas Bernard, who was brilliant for Italy, tied it up. And for France, who's already beat Kazakhstan, like the 1 point was about all they need. They get the one, and then they go to overtime, and it's a quick turnover, and Hugo Gallet ends it. And France celebrated like they knew they are going to stay up. It was a dramatic turn of events. Italy would be devastated. They kind of did what they wanted to do. They just couldn't get over the finish line. But talking to the French coaches, the French players, and the French administrators after the game, they were toasting champagne, knowing
they were in a good spot.
And Sasha Trey wasn't hiding that after the game, Reagan. Before, I know you want to get a sentence out, but listen to what he had to say, since, Mike, you already mentioned him.
I don't know. It was such a great feeling because we've been working for staying in the top division, and this game was really important for us. And we knew Italy is going to be a really strong opponent, and they play really simple, and they crashed to the net, so it would be a hard game. And finally, at the end, it changed everything for us, so it's perfect.
So as we said, and Mike said earlier, France already celebrating what seems to be a spot for themselves in next year's World Championship. But Reagan, an absolute heartbreaker for the Italian side, who are still fighting for their spot.
I know what it's like to lose in those games, and it is not fun. I'll tell you that. The bus ride home is a long one, even if it's only 10 minutes. And you like that, Mike?
I do.
The first goal they scored, I want Mike to walk us through because he was there, but he pickpocketed him. On that goal, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I mean, it was Shaqchevili, who's been a very good defender for France. He thought he had a step, but Frigo jumped on his horse, lifted his stick, quick pivot, and was in alone kind of from the top of the circle down. Backhand, forehand, beat Buse to the post. But it was such a good job kind of staying with the play, sneaking up on a guy who thought he had time and space and was looking up ice. And Italy thought that might be all they needed. It was so close to getting all the way to the finish line. So, beautiful goal, but just not quite enough.
One more game from yesterday. And Reagan, your moment of the day comes from there. It was a pretty funny one. You messaged me this morning and I couldn't stop laughing. So share it with us.
It was really embarrassing because I should be ready. Because every time that I'm there, they announce, you know, hockey is a fast-moving game. Be ready. You need to watch out. Okay, I hear you. I understand. But Norway scored the open netter at the very end, and the player celebrated like no other. Jumped into the glass, right the glass pane that I was at, and I just lost it because I didn't even realize he was coming. I was trying to videotape, and so I was looking through my screen. All of a sudden, it just jumps out at me, and I just had a huge jump scare. And I think it's recorded right now, so I'll find that if I can, but I don't really want to share it with anyone because it's embarrassing.
That's tremendous.
Mike, don't worry. I'll find the video and I'll send it to you later today.
Please do. Sometimes I call games between the benches and like you absolutely have to pay attention. Pucks, sticks, bodies, you name it, flying around. Even when you're behind the glass, it can kind of startle you a little bit. So I want the video. I'm gonna tweet that one out.
No. I don't think it's that bad. I probably looked calm, but my heart was racing really bad.
Well, your heart isn't the only heart that was racing throughout this game. So Reagan, talk to us about this one.
So I was also talking to some Austrian members of the team that aren't on the team, but the coaching staff and everything. And they were saying that they were feeling an immense amount of pressure, which is understandable because they weren't expecting to get points against USA. They weren't expecting to really win against Czechia. And so now they're coming into this game against Norway, a game that they were thinking they could potentially win. And they felt all that pressure all at once. And so it was a tough back and forth game. And when they went into the third period, it was so close, one goal game. And well, they came within one goal within a few minutes. And then they pull their goalie, they get an open netter, and their hearts break once again. And so maybe it was good for them. Maybe it humbles them a little bit more.
Brings them back down to earth after the big win.
Yeah, now they don't feel, or I'm hoping that they don't feel that big pressure that they did before the game.
I don't want to be humbled. I want the points. That's what I want. And they could probably use a break. You know, when they play four games in 5 days, even without the travel, it's so emotional. It's so intense. They could use a day just away to recharge and get ready for the final few games.
And they'll get that rest. And we're also going to take a break from talking about games for a second because we're in for a treat. We have the 2020 IIHF Esport World Champion, pro gamer, fantasy expert, and content creator, Eki, with us today. Eki, welcome to the Totally Ice Hockey Show.
Ooh. Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Eki, we've been waiting for you because three of us are struggling when it comes to fantasy. And even when we feel like we're getting good tips, like Reagan's tip about choosing a captain, it ends up messing with us because Mike chose a captain and he lost in points.
Just for the record. I am in second place of our podcast league. So, I mean, they might be struggling, but I'm doing okay.
Oh, come on, Mike. There were days that you came on here and you're like, guys, I had a bad day yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not perfect, but I'm in second. Something's working.
Wait, how many points do you have?
I have 133.
You had a good day.
I had a day yesterday.
We'll come back.
All right, well, Eki, IIHF fantasy game, you obviously are a pro, especially compared to us three. What is it that our listeners and we need to do in order to improve our choices every day, to pick the right players? What are some of your tips and tricks that you do when you're playing fantasy games?
So last year I played every day. The thing I did a lot is always took a clear favorite to the game. So for example, today Canada is playing Kazakhstan. I would go with Canadian players personally, and then USA is playing Great Britain. I think there's two clear favorites today that to win. So I would just first pick a winner for each game, and then like think who's the clearest winner, and took players from that team who's hot and who's capable of scoring. That's what I would do.
So Eki, that's what I try to do. But then you also wondered, like, Pierre-Luc Dubois is playing great for Canada, but I can't use him every day. I'm only allowed to use him three times. So how do you decide when of the three times you get to use him that you put him in?
And on the day that I use him, he doesn't score any points.
well, of course, fantasy is mostly luck anyway. So you got to keep that in.
Don't say you got that, to keep that when I'm ahead of our little group.
Mike, you're just getting really lucky.
Of course, your choices are very important. But yeah, that can happen. You pick a player like Dubois, who, you know, is capable of scoring, but he doesn't score. That happens. But let's say you like Team Canada a lot, right? You think they will score a lot of goals, they will win a lot of games. Their roster is stacked, so it doesn't really matter who you pick in Team Canada. They have a chance to score points.
Mike's liking this answer. Just look at this.
This guy is brilliant.
Our listeners can't see it, but I wish you could. So, okay, if you're looking at today's games, obviously you're talking about USA and Canada. You're talking about picking, first of all, the teams that you think are going to win. But what is it about picking specific players? Is there some sort of a trick to doing that? Or, like you're saying, it's just being lucky with picking the right players on the right day?
Well, most of it is luck, I will be honest. But, of course, you can help yourself seeing who's hot and who's not. Who hasn't maybe played up to their standards yet in the championships? Who has scored points and maybe go off that? And who's had a good season in their own team, in NHL team or in their European team? See who's doing good. And, that's what I did last year a lot.
And I think one more thing to be mindful of is who's going to play on the power play? Because they do shift around and you kind of watch the end of the previous game. If the power play is going well, who's on it? If it's not going well, who might get to go on it is something that I would probably try to pay attention to as well.
Yeah, that's a great
That's point. Too much thinking for me. Autofill. Actually, Eki helped me pick mine yesterday. So,
And how'd you do?
No, he helped me pick it for today.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
So do you want to share with us maybe one or two of your picks for today? Who did Eki
have? Sharing my secrets?
Yeah, like I said, Canada and USA, I'm going with them today. I think they have a chance to score some goals. I have Dubois, I have Barzal, I have Kalcheniak, I have Jones, I have Chabot, and then whoever plays for Canada, I will have in it. We don't know that yet.
Eki, you're a very smart man. I have Anderson, Jones, Drieger, or whoever plays for Canada. I have the exact same kind of lineup with the same kind of thought.
Yeah.
I have not yet chosen my lineup. I was waiting to talk to Eki before I did that, see if that helps me.
I think if you go with Canadian or USA players, you're fine regardless today. Of course, other matchups, Czech Republic is playing Latvia. Czech Republic has a lot of offensive talent. But Latvia is a good team. So I don't know, that might be a tough one.
And a tricky one to pick from.
Yeah,
anyone exactly. From that game.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
No one, Reagan? You're not choosing anyone from?
No, I can't trust them to go the way that I want them to. So we'll have to go U.S. and Canada.
Well, Eki, most important question for you. Have you joined the Totally Ice Hockey Show League on IIHF Fantasy?
I haven't.
You haven't? All right. I'm probably going to regret this because I'm going to tell you to join the league and then you are going to beat all of us. But I'm going to tell you to join the league anyway. And for all of our listeners who still want to join, it's not too late. fantasy.iihf.com. Create a team if you haven't yet. Search for our league, the Totally Ice Hockey Show League. Join us. Eki is going to join us. And then we're going to check every day by how many points he's at least beating me, because it's probably going to be by a lot. Mike's going to give him fight, and Reagan's coming from behind, especially with Eki's tips now. Right, Reagan?
Yeah, but he just said all my players out loud. We'll be good. We'll be good. Yeah.
All right. Well, Eki, winner of the 2020 IIHF Esports World Championship, pro gamer, fantasy expert who's helping us with all of our picks. Pleasure having you on with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
And now we'll get back to today's games, because we do have another four slated for today. Start out with Germany-Denmark. What do we think of this game?
Germany-Denmark is probably another one where we'll see if Group A goes according to plan. Germany's supposed to beat Denmark, and then it will be Denmark and Slovakia battling for fourth. Denmark looked great early. They've kind of had some decent moments, but they've not really challenged the better teams. So this will be a tough game and a good test for both teams. I like Germany. I'm just not sure how deep Denmark is. And losing Lauridsen, who's had shoulder surgery already from an injury he suffered, is a big blow for Denmark. So should be a good test. If Denmark wants to make that last game with Slovakia a bit more interesting, they can pull a point or two out of this one.
And it's a 6-point game. What did you say? Do you call it that way?
I suppose so. I mean, because they have the same number of points, but given who they've played against, I don't quite stack them up as being equal just yet. Germany is the favorite, and they should be.
Yeah.
What about Czechia, Latvia, Reagan?
I think Pasternak is here. Let's go. We got pasta in the house. I actually don't know if he's going to be playing tonight, but if he is, I'm putting him on my team. And I think it's going to be a good game regardless of what's happened in the past, but I think Czechia leads with 1 point right now. So it's really, really big game for them.
Reagan, he didn't fly overnight, get here yesterday to watch, to warm up, to get a couple practices in.
Okay.
He's going to play. He was just in the playoffs 5 days ago. He's going to play.
I figured as much, but I wasn't going to put it out there and spread some false news if that was the case.
The United States also getting some reinforcements. And before we go into their game versus Great Britain, what kind of effect does it have on teams when these reinforcements come in?
It's not always positive. It's not always. Like when David Pastrnak shows up, okay, of course it's great news because he's a world-class player, better than anyone you have. Whoever gets bumped down the lineup, what are you going to say? Mm-hmm. It's David Pastrnak.
You make room.
But when it's, you know, maybe someone not of his caliber, like a good player, but someone who's level with the other guys there, I mean, someone's going to get sat out. Someone's going to get, you know, less amount of ice who've committed to being here early. So it's a fine line between you know, who comes over, when they come over. Superstars, anytime, but just regular role players, it is a bit of a challenge. So something to be mindful of there.
Because we also like to talk about chemistry and building chemistry. And then every time a new player comes in, it sort of changes the chemistry on the team a bit, Reagan.
Yeah, team dynamics are huge. And there, if you have one person, like we've been talking about it, like the Energizer Bunny, that can change so much of your game and bring so much positive outlook into it. And with him coming in, I saw videos of everyone embracing him, open arms. They're like, Pasta, how are you? Like, all of that. And so I think he's going to be really good for them. And yeah, I don't think there should be much issues because Cechi has a team that knows their roles, and I think it'll be fine.
I imagine David Krejci picked him up at the airport. The Bruins teammates forever. There's like nobody happier than David Krejci having him around.
And speaking of Energizer Bunnies, the United States still looking for theirs. Reagan, like you said a couple days ago after the loss to Finland, they're also getting some reinforcements. Is someone going to be there to hype up the team today?
I would hope so. They have a player coming from LA. He's playing in the minors AHL team, TJ Tynan. We just chatted about that. And he apparently is a scorer, according to Mike. So I'm not so sure if he's going to be the energizer that they need, but hopefully somebody brings the energy because they are lacking in that department.
Although it wasn't the NHL, he had 98 points in the minors, 14 goals, and 84 assists. So he's a setup guy, a power play quarterback. There's room for him on this U.S. roster. There's the role he fills, they could use.
And they're taking on Great Britain, who is still, you know, looking for their win, their first win of the tournament, to stay out of the bottom, to, you know, shy away from relegation. What do you expect to see from them today?
They're going to put up a fight, that's for sure. But the way USA has been playing, it might be a little bit easier for them to get points from this game versus others, but I think that USA is going to be a clear winner here. I'm choosing that on my fantasy too, so I'm hoping that they will. But coming out of that 6-0 loss with Sweden, it was really tough on them, but we talked about how good they are at bouncing back and how much energy they bring and how excited they are just to be here. So they're going to be fine. But yeah, USA, that's my pick for today.
Reagan, what does Great Britain need to remember? Their ethos, which is play aggressive, be respectful, but not fearful of their opponents, and push. And I expect them to play that way, which is good. Don't want to sit back.
Do you expect that from Kazakhstan also as they meet Canada tonight? No.
No, I do not.
They don't have the same ethos.
I do not. They have a bend but don't break ethos. They have defend. Pray that Shutov is in net, plays really well. It's a tough matchup. See, Canada's had 2 days off. So what you're hoping for is Canada's done some sightseeing and had some fun and maybe looks at Kazakhstan as a softer opponent and doesn't bring their absolute best. Because we know if they do, it's a matchup that Kazakhstan's not going to be able to win. So goaltending, opportunistic. And maybe some power play opportunities if they can score there. But not Canada's looked very good so far when they played. They didn't play for one period against Italy. If they play for three full periods, Canada will be right back up and running.
Well, Kazakhstan still looking to leave this tournament with their head held high, even if it's with relegation. And we won't speak of that term just yet because they still do have chances in the game against Italy. But do you think that they can leave with their head held high with how they've been playing, at least? Maybe the results are not the results that they wanted, but are they playing well?
They haven't until last game. I thought last game against Switzerland was the first game they kind of played how they play, which is not going to carry the action, but just defend hard, be opportunistic, have good goaltending, keep the games tight, find a way to make it close. They did that all year last year. They almost made the quarterfinals. They ended up tied with Canada in points, but lost the tiebreaker, and Canada went on to win the gold. So just a year ago, they were, you know, right there. And I think maybe the game against Switzerland was the first game where they found that recipe again. They'll have to do that even better against Canada today.
Well, stay tuned today to see if they're able to do that. Mike and Reagan, go enjoy your days before we see you behind the mics. I'm still waiting for Reagan's video because I was laughing just thinking about it, that I can't imagine how funny it is to actually watch it.
I don't think it was as bad as I thought it was.
Probably not.
I hope it's worse.
Okay, Mike, get out of here. We're done. We're done here.
All right. Well, as Reagan said, we're done here. You can find us every morning on Twitter Spaces, 9 a.m. local time, 8 a.m. CET. And of course, you can find the podcast on the IIHF app and your favorite streaming services. We're here with you every game day of this IIHF World Championship. Have a good one.
Have a great day, everybody.
Bye, y'all.